it might cause enormous difficulties for him and for the potential success of holding the union together or putting it back together. So he decided to reprovision it. Now, a full-scale effort to supply and reinforce the fort, Lincoln knew, would brand the North as an aggressor. Here's the North coming in with troops and ammunition to Fort Sumter. And that would almost certainly send at least the Upper South out of the Union, Lincoln thought. But an unarmed supply ship, he thought, was a different thing. If that were fired on by the Confederates would be the aggressors. All we're doing is sending food. If they won't allow us to send food to our garrison, that would be a warlike act on their part rather than on our part. We, the North, reasoned Lincoln, would be in the role of the assaulted party. The secessionists, the Confederates, would be in the role of the aggressive party in that instance. Perhaps the Upper South would understand that, he thought. Perhaps that wouldn't be enough to send them out of the Union. Lincoln told the governor of South Carolina, Francis Pickens, what was going to happen. He said, "This vessel is coming. This is what it's carrying. This is what it's not carrying. I just want you to know. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding about this." "We will not fire," said Lincoln, "unless fired upon." Well, Jefferson Davis and the Confederate cabinet faced a tremendous dilemma now, because they didn't want to be labeled as the aggressors either. No one wanted to fire the first shot. Everyone wanted to be able to have the high ground. But Davis was under intense political pressure, public pressure, not to give up Fort Sumter. What he and his advisors decided to do was to ask for the surrender of the fort before the Union vessel arrived with the supplies. To ask for the surrender, they did. Robert Anderson refused to give up the fort, and on April 12, 1861, Southern batteries ringing the fort in Charleston Harbor opened fire on Fort Sumter. Hordes of people watched. They got on rooftops and watched. They found the good vantage points around the harbor and watched this spectacular display, 36 hours of bombardment. And at the end of that 36 hours, the United States garrison surrendered Fort Sumter. The next day, on April 15th, 1861, Abraham Lincoln issued a call for 75,000 volunteers to put down the rebellion. And we have reached the great trigger of the war. A war was not inevitable to that point. As I said last time, we shouldn't ever fall into the trap of seeing it as inevitable. But once Lincoln called for 75,000 volunteers, events moved very rapidly. And let's move to our last section here, which is what the effect of all these events at Fort Sumter and Lincoln's call had on the Upper South, four states of the Upper South. A war fever swept across the North and South, both sides, uniting, I think, public opinion in both sections to a degree that it certainly had not been united before. Northerners angry that a United States installation had been fired upon. Confederates angry that Lincoln had called for volunteers to suppress the rebellion. Theoretically, that meant that troops from all those other slave states that were still in the Union might be used against their Deep South brethren, and that was something that the Upper South simply was not willing to countenance. The North, in no mood after this to think about placating the South anymore. The North had a great sense of union. Untold Northerners reared on the rhetoric of Daniel Webster and others, and Lincoln certainly falls into this pattern, saw the North as a democratic beacon in a world that had not yet embraced democracy. And they believed that the sundering of the Union not only had implications for the future of the United States, but also had implications for the future of democracy in the world. If this democratic beacon were snuffed out, and they believed secession would do that in the long term, it would lead perhaps to an endless division of the United States and redivision. If it were ever snuffed out, there was no guarantee that it would be lighted again anywhere. So more was at stake in the minds of many white Northerners than just the Union. There was also the democratic example for the world. The Upper South states of Virginia and Tennessee and North Carolina and Arkansas decided that the call for volunteers was the last straw. And one by one, they left. Virginia left in April, North Carolina in May, Tennessee in June. Three key states. Arkansas also left. It's not nearly as important that Arkansas left, because Arkansas isn't exactly central to what goes on in our story from here to the end of the Civil War, but these other three states are absolutely central.